I hope that you'll start turning to Proverbs right now, because we're actually going to be going through the book of Proverbs as we go throughout the new year. I've been looking forward to this. I've never preached through it, which is kind of the common case in everything, because I haven't preached through a lot of the books of the Bible. But I've been looking forward to getting to this. Last week, I had a good time. My sister and brother-in-law were in town along with their kids, and we happen to live next door to one of the greatest hide-and-seek places in McChesney Park, which is this church. And in fact, in case you've never had the opportunity to play hide-and-seek here, you know, I can help you out with a few hiding places. One of the good hiding places is the baptismal robes. You can always, put yourself in there and people won't find you. Another place is when this stage is pushed in, there's actually some pretty good recesses there, and you can just kind of tuck yourself up in there. And I've hidden up there for so long, I almost fell asleep one time. So there's lots of great hiding places, but eventually it became my opportunity to seek. And I'm walking around this church, and I know that there are three people hidden in the church. I walked through twice and could not find them. And I want to tell you, it's kind of creepy to walk through this building and know there are people hidden in it and you can't find them. Having that awareness is super creepy. But you know what? When it comes to awareness, that is exactly what we often lack when it comes to dealing with God. We often lack an awareness that God is present everywhere we go, and that God has a desire in every situation of our lives, and that we are not held back because God is not speaking. We are often held back because we have become unaware that God is always there, that God is here. And so as we go through the book of Proverbs, we're actually going to find that the book of Proverbs is trying to help us grow into a greater awareness of God and what he's doing. When you look at Proverbs, Proverbs are basically a series of unconnected wisdom statements. In fact, you don't necessarily have to preach straight through Proverbs 1 all the way through 31. There are some places it connects, and some places it can seem really random. But as we go through the book, we're going to find a lot of these different Proverbs are going to hit us in a lot of different ways. The majority of them were written by David's son, Solomon, and he was a guy that, for him, wisdom was a big deal. One time, God came and said, okay, you can have anything you want. What do you want? And he said, wisdom. Because he wanted to make sure that stepping into his dad's place as the leader and ruler of a country, that now his decisions were going to affect people's lives and their families. He wanted to know that he would have the wisdom to do it well. And in fact, he became so well known throughout the world that other rulers would come to hear him lecture on science and politics and ultimately about who God was. And so as we look through Proverbs, you're actually going to see a great picture of the relationship of God to man when it comes to the establishment and the formation of Scripture. Because as you look at these Proverbs, these aren't just things that God taught Solomon. You're going to see a lot of things that Solomon lived and that Solomon experienced. So he didn't just have a knowledge, but he had wisdom. We'll get into that more. Because I want you to understand that when you read the Bible, God inspires the Word of God. I absolutely believe that this is the word and the letters of God. But if you've ever read 1 Corinthians or 1 Peter, you see some differences. You still see the fingerprints of those people because God still allowed them to have personalities. When I preach Proverbs 1, if I'm really saying, God, I want to preach your word, and someone else preaches Proverbs 1, there's likely to be some differences, but if we're both being sensitive to God, God can still speak through that. The beautiful part about serving God is God could create us all as a bunch of drones, but he allows us to have a personality still as long as we keep that personality in awareness of him. So that's what we're going to see as we go through the book of Proverbs. A lot of times you see Psalms and Proverbs put together. In fact, the Gideons, when they hand out a New Testament, it still includes Psalms and Proverbs. So a lot of times we think of them as very similar, but they have one big distinction. Henry Haley said that the book of Psalms is like a book of devotion. In fact, if I'm ever finding that I'm struggling in my prayer life, I will read and pray a psalm. But the book of Proverbs is a book of practical ethics, where we get to see it actually lived out. So let's take a look. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7 as we begin the book. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel." Here's their purpose: to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance, to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, one of the first things you might see here is, hold on a second, we had a memory verse, Proverbs 9:10, that's slightly different from this, because here it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But when we did Proverbs 9:10, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So which is it? Is the fear of the Lord the beginning of knowledge or of wisdom? The answer is yes. Both and. We actually see that while they're different, they're still closely related. In fact, if you look at Proverbs 1:7 again, you see both knowledge and wisdom together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. And then Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So we see this connection because knowledge can't exist without wisdom, but wisdom cannot exist without knowledge. So there is this tie, there is this relationship, and so while they're similar and connected, they are still distinct. And here's how these two words go together. First of all, when it says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it essentially means knowledge is a starting point. It's an awareness. It's you beginning to understand where you start. For instance, how many of you in here can drive a stick shift car? Raise your hand. More than I thought. Good for you. All right, so if you've never driven a stick shift car and you've always driven an automatic and you get in a car and it's got three pedals, it can be a little overwhelming. Now for me, I grew up learning how to drive a stick shift. My dad put me in the truck, that old beat up Ford truck that we all had to drive because dad knew we were all going to have an accident, and so we're going to have an accident in that. And so he taught me, this is the gas, this is the brake, and this is the clutch. And when you're driving along, when you need to go a little bit faster and the engine's really revving up, you got to let off that gas, push in that clutch, shift, and then find that magical sweet spot where the car will keep going. So my dad told me about this. So I had this knowledge of how to drive a stick shift car. But I can tell you how to do it. And that is not going to guarantee any level of success, especially if you've ever tried to teach somebody. Oh, good night. You need to grow in patience. Teach someone what in the world to do with a clutch. So you start off with this awareness. Knowledge is a starting point. My dad gave me a knowledge or an awareness of what the pedals did. But then you have wisdom, which literally can mean good sense. And so my dad then said, okay, I've shown you what to do. He got out of the truck. And he said, I want you to drive it all around our subdivision. You can't leave the subdivision, but I want you to drive it around until you figure it out. So that's what I did. I spent a whole weekend driving and, okay, here's kind of where I need to shift. Okay, here's how I can slow myself down, downshift a little bit. And sometimes, if you've ever driven a stick shift, you know, for people that never have, when they come up to a red light, sometimes they get right on your bumper when you're on a 90-degree hill. And so I learned how to balance. Anyone here know how to balance? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. So I had to learn how to balance it. You could tell me how to do that, but until I took the knowledge and applied it and understood good sense of how to use it, I didn't have any wisdom in how to do it. That is a great picture of the relationship, because knowledge is a good thing, but it takes some experience to develop good sense. Here's the proof. You ever known somebody has a great knowledge of the Bible, but seems to make a lot of dumb choices? Is that person you? I don't know. Sometimes it's me. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to look at the person next and go, yep, it's me. Or, yep, it's you. I don't know what the situation might be. But why do we sometimes have a knowledge of the Bible, a knowledge of God's word and still make unwise choices. It's because we're failing to allow the knowledge through the awareness of who God is to come out. We're not exercising wisdom, because wisdom comes by applying the knowledge that we have. Let me give you an example of that. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. If you got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to see this in the life of Jesus. So Jesus and his family, when Jesus is just a kid, they go to Jerusalem, which is, of course, the spiritual center of the country. So they go there, they're there for a while, and then they go home. And while Jesus' parents are going home, they realize they've lost the Son of God. They've been traveling for a day. They just assumed he was over with an aunt or an uncle or one of their neighbors. They start looking around. Hey, where's Jesus? He ain't here. So they go back to Jerusalem. And look at Luke chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. So they get back there. They're searching for him. And it says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So they find him in the temple. He's asking questions. He's answering questions. He's operating from a knowledge. But then look at verse 52, because this is all we get of the rest of Jesus' childhood, basically. Verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, at first you look in that and say, okay, why did Jesus need to increase in wisdom? Don't forget that Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus, when he came down to earth to become fully God and fully man for us, he emptied himself of many of his divine attributes in order that when it says that he was tempted in every way, and without sin, it means something. There's a reason that sometimes Jesus would pray and ask questions, because there were sometimes he didn't know answers. And so here it tells us that as he gained knowledge, he grew in wisdom. How y'all doing over here? I just thought I'd wander over here closer. I feel like I've not wandered close enough. How you doing, Ryan? Awesome, great. So you see this out of Jesus' own life. So if Jesus had knowledge and grew in wisdom, how much more so do you and I need to take the knowledge of God's word and grow in wisdom by experience? The answer is a ton. Because Jesus himself was always setting an example for us, showing us what it's like to live this life. So it's not just about how much you know. You have to grow. If you can get up and just smoke everybody in here on Bible drills, but you don't do what the Bible says, then no Bible drill trophy is going to mean anything for you. Turn back to Proverbs 1. Look what it says in verse 5. Let the wise hear and do what? Increase in learning. You can't just think you know it all and just move on. And so whether you look at Proverbs 1:7 or you look at Proverbs 9:10, together it shows us the whole picture that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. They go together. They're supposed to be moving one into another. And of course, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, for a lot of us in Sunday school class, we just talked about this morning. The fear of the Lord is having that reverent awareness that God is always present, that God is always here, that he's always doing something. It makes me think of Colossians 1, 15 through 17, that even says of Jesus that he is the image of the invisible God, for by him all things were created, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. There is nothing in this universe that Jesus is not aware of, that Jesus is not concerned about, that Jesus does not have touch upon. And so having that knowledge of the awareness of God, that God is everywhere, and that God has a desire for everything, should create a reverent fear in us that we don't want to operate apart from the direction of God. If you're a Christian and you struggle sometimes in making the right choices, then welcome to the club. But why do we struggle? I mean, why do I make a choice opposite of what I know is best for me? The reason is simple, because sometimes we forget how bad it was before Jesus. Sometimes we forget how bad off we really were. And so when we have a reverent awareness of God, that's our starting point in this search for knowledge and wisdom. And then we're going to see that that healthy reverence allows us to know, receive, and give. Look at verses 2 through 4 again. Proverbs chapter 1. So here's what it says. To know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction and wise dealing. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. So the fear of the Lord, this awareness of God, is critical in these three areas. The first of which is to know. To gain knowledge requires identifying a trustworthy source. Now, sometimes if you're not sure what to do in your life, you go to godly people you know. Maybe you call your parents or a grandparent, you've got a friend, maybe you call your pastor, maybe you call a Sunday school teacher, somebody that you trust. And you know what? That's a good thing. But the greater thing is to allow the Word of God to speak into the situations of your life. Yes, you should allow godly influences to have a voice in your life. The Bible says that there is great wisdom in many counselors, bringing people that you trust. But if you're going to try to do something apart from you personally looking at the Word of God, you're not going to grow. You know what almost ruined me for math, like I needed much help, was the back of the book. Why do they put answers back there? Well, then I got a book one time that just had the odd answers, so basically my math teacher's like, well, Heath, you do really good on the odd answers, but you're not so hot on the even answers. But you know the problem with putting the answers back there? I didn't understand how to use them. I thought I was just supposed to use them when I hadn't done my math and I was on the bus riding to school. But what I was supposed to do was to work the problem out, look at the answer, and learn from my mistakes. To take that knowledge and to allow it to grow into wisdom. If you want to be in the will of God, I'm telling you, you will never do it apart from the Word of God. You can try to talk to godly people who can share with you what they've learned, but you ultimately have to internalize that in some way. If you're not reading the Word of God, you are missing the will of God. I can tell you from experience that there were times that I was distant from Scripture. And then I begin reading, and they're like, wow, that's like exactly what I'm going through. That's like exactly the situation that I'm dealing with right now. I've been wondering what to do. God's been talking the whole time. I just wasn't listening. And the thing is, we have a knowledge that the Bible is a good thing. There are a lot of people right now who are signing up for Scripture reading challenges in 2017. And a lot of them are going to quit within a couple weeks. And here's why. Because they're reading the Bible because they think they're supposed to. Instead of realizing that they'll not only gain knowledge, but they can gain wisdom in how to live. See, when I first started reading the Bible and I was just reading it to make my pastor happy or my parents happy, I didn't grow a whole lot. But when I started reading it to please God, my life began to change. I began to read it and say, oh, here's what God wants me to do. So you know what? If you're reading Scripture, don't give up on that. And if you're struggling with that, ask somebody for help. Talk to me. I would love to talk to you to help you with your Scripture reading. I am so passionate about that because I know how much my life has changed through the reading of the Word of God. I'm not dumb. I know that these sermons are not going to be what changes your life. I just hope that they are spark plugs to help you maybe see some area of your life that's currently deficient so that then you and the Holy Spirit begin work on that together. Now, if you need some human to step in and help you out, there's a lot of us here, but ultimately it's about you and Jesus. That's where it's always going to come down to. So we have to start by knowing where knowledge is received, but then you have to receive it. You've got to take it in. You know, I have oftentimes avoided pastors' conferences because I say I don't have time, or, you know, I know how to preach, I know how to pastor, I know I'm maybe not doing it the best, but I get it. I don't really need to go to some conference. And so I decide I'm not going to go. But then something happens, and I go for some reason. And time after time after time, I learn so much. Because you know what happens? I realized there were areas I was weak that I didn't even know I was weak. You see, the reason that sometimes we know that the Bible has everything we need and we don't receive it is because we're prideful. And you might not initially define it as pride, but that's what it is. Because you're saying, I know enough to get through this situation. I don't have to be one of those religious nuts. I don't have to go all Jesus-y right now because life's a little tough. No, you need to be close to Jesus every single day. You need to live and walk and work in that awareness. It's not just about knowing it. You have to be ready to receive it. And so I'm thankful for times that I've just been able to say, okay, God, here's where I'm broken. Please show me how this can be repaired. Show me what you want to do in me. Because every time we choose pride, it stunts our spiritual growth. And so when we have a fear, an awareness of the Lord, it leads us to not only know and to receive, but then we get to do something really cool. Not only do you get to know wisdom and knowledge and receive it, but as you do, you get the opportunity to bless others with it. You look there at verse 4 and it says that we not only know and receive, but we give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. So as we gain knowledge and wisdom, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to pass it on. I have a list in my phone of pastors just around the country that I know really well or that I've gotten to know a little bit. And one of them in particular just constantly in my mind for about 2 days. I admit it took me 2 days to register that God was speaking something to me on it. And so I sent him a Facebook message, said, hey man, I just can't stop thinking about you. So I know these are some things you've said before are going on. And so I just want you to know I'm praying for you right now. Here's some ways I'm praying. So he responded within just a moment or two. And he said, man, I'm so glad that you reached out to me. Because on Wednesday morning, I was ready to resign. And on Wednesday night, I was ready to stay here forever. And he was really having a struggle. And he was talking about some of the things. And I was telling you, the pastor in me, maybe it's the man in me, wanted to fix it. Like, you know, try this. Let's do this and do that and do this. And I do that sometimes. And if I've ever done that to you, I'm sorry. I know I do that to my wife sometimes and she shares things. Well, let's just do this and do that and do this and do that. And that's not what she's needing out of me all the time. And so I was thinking about this and I was like, you know, God, what could I say back to him? And I just felt like the Lord said, you know, there are two situations that you've gone through recently. Just share with him about those. And so I said, hey, I just want you to know, here's a couple of ways that I've seen God work and work for me. And so I just shared that with him. I wasn't trying to fix his situation. I just wanted him to see how God had been working in my situations. And he said, man, I really appreciate you sharing that with me. He said, I needed to hear that. And he felt like he gained some understanding from that. You see, if you're gaining knowledge and wisdom, you'll be sharing it. If you're not sharing it, it's because you're not gaining it. You're not growing. You don't have anything to share. When you look at verse 7, it talks about the fear of the Lord. It means that we have a reverent awareness of God. We don't want to be off track. We don't want to miss what he's doing, and we want to help others to do the same. So we begin to share truth to build up saints, but we also share truth to draw in the lost. We're going to kind of come into a time of invitation, but I want us to look at Proverbs 1:7 together one last time. Look at it with me in your Bibles. You got your Bible, look right at it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you will walk and live in a constant awareness of God, you can have new beginnings. Constant, daily. But if you refuse to know and to receive and to give the knowledge and wisdom of God, you're only putting yourself up for dead ends. You're going to be frustrated. You're not going to know where to go next because you're not walking that life daily. If you only walk that life in a crisis, the crisis ends. We need a Christianity that's bigger than our crisis. And so you have to ask yourself, am I living in an occasional awareness of God? Or am I living in a daily awareness of God? If you're living in an occasional awareness, you are walking, my friend, through long stretches where you are missing what God is saying to you. But if you will daily get up and commit that today is God's, you're putting yourself in an awareness that God wants to do something with you even when it's not Sunday. And that God has so much more to say to you than sometimes you've been willing to hear. So are you knowing, receiving, and giving knowledge and wisdom? Where in your life do you need to admit there's some work to do? And maybe you've not been taking a moment to really examine it. Where in your life is God calling you to some work? Who could you ask that could maybe be a help and encouragement to you? And finally, who do you know who could use a little help and encouragement themselves? Who do you see that maybe God's even been saying something to you? You know what? She could really use a friend. He could really use a mentor. You know what? If God's been speaking something to you, it's not that you know everything about everything, but you can share about what God has done in you. And this morning, if you feel like God hasn't done anything in you, if you feel a detachment from God, then I ask you this question. Have you ever asked for the forgiveness that God has offered you? Have you ever received the new life that Jesus died to give you? God never told us to overcome our own sin. He told us to admit that we're sinners, to ask for the forgiveness of Jesus, and watch a new life open up. Brand new. The Bible says you become a new creation. The old is gone. Whatever you think is keeping you from having any relationship with God, God is the one who kicks that to the curb. And then we get the opportunity to live a brand new life. I don't know what I may have spoken to you that has hit you in the heart, but I want you to take a moment right now, whatever it is, and would you just talk to the Lord about what commitments He wants you to make as a result of His word this morning? Let's just take that moment.